Thank you very much. Let me start by acknowledging my co-authors, Josué de Leon and Jean-Guy Honoré, both of whom are present here, and I'm very happy to see them. And I'll start by giving you some scoop about the problem of violence. And needless to say that intimate partner violence is a global public health problem. And a recent study that was done in Haiti by the DHS, which was a nationally representative sample, found that one in four Haitian women have ever experienced intimate partner physical, emotional, and sexual violence, or sexual violence. And recognizing the role that healthcare providers have to play in intimate partner violence, addressing it through screening women, referring them to appropriate care and treatment, and informing them about how to protect themselves, and referring them to appropriate services, we do find that in developed countries, there are a number of public health associations that are recommending intimate partner violence screening in healthcare facilities. However, when it comes to low-income countries, we do have very little information on the acceptability of and barriers to IPV screening. So the study objectives were to identify the barriers to IPV universal screening and assess how perceived barriers differ between healthcare providers, clients, and community members. Now, this presentation is just going to focus on the provider-related barriers, partly because we don't have time to cover everybody else's perceived barriers. And we also want to outline key recommendations for piloting IPV universal screening in healthcare settings in Haiti. So the data come from a qualitative study. It was conducted in May to July 2012 in the Department of Antibonite in Haiti through semi-structured face-to-face in-depth interviews. And we interviewed 41 healthcare providers, and they ranged from doctors, nurses, residents, auxiliaries, and community health workers. The sampling was purposive, and only healthcare providers who provided reproductive and health services were interviewed. We got ethical approval from the Haiti Ministry of Health, National Bioethics Committee, and Tulane University, and we got letters of collaboration. But for the private health facilities and the mixed, they call them mixed health facilities if they're government subsidized, we got four letters of collaboration. And for the public health facilities, we got a letter from the Department of Health in Antibonite to interview providers in those three public health facilities. And for the analysis, we first had double coding to identify themes using a grander theory approach, and it was double coded to increase the reliability of the coding categories, and we conducted the analysis using NVivo 10. So the in-depth interview guide collected data on current practices procedures for addressing IPV in healthcare settings. We also collected data on the perceived advantages and disadvantages of IPV screening in healthcare settings. And we collected data on provider, client, and community acceptability of and perceived barriers. But we also asked providers about ideal screening questions, procedures, and outcomes for adolescent girls, for men, and for women, and asked providers what their needs were and suggested strategies for training in IPV screening. So this slide presents the perceived barriers, and we identified provider-related barriers, health system barriers, community barriers, and client barriers. They were all kind of interconnected, but here I'm going to focus on the provider barriers in the interest of time. What we found was that slightly more than half of healthcare providers approved of routine screening for IPV, but most preferred an indicator-based approach to asking women routinely about intimate partner violence. And one of the ways we started was by asking providers what their current practices were. And what we found was that screening for IPV is generally uncommon, and usually they looked for red flags, and the presence of red flags like wounds or scars before asking clients about IPV. But apart from that, the information provided by the client at intake, the client's physical and emotional state, the client's possession of a legal complaint certificate, confidentiality concerns, and the provider's own perceived self-efficacy to conduct the IPV screening were key determining factors in whether or not women were asked questions about intimate partner violence. And in this slide, I present two quotes from the providers explaining their practices about IPV screening, and I'll read the second one. Usually healthcare providers, nurse or doctor, they do not screen only for domestic violence, but for all kinds of violence. First of all, the victim must have a legal complaint certificate, or she can have scars, scratches, and wounds. We take into account the emotional aspect, who she's afraid of. So one of the things we also did was to ask providers their advantages, what they thought were the advantages of IPV screening. And the advantages generally fell into two groups. One, about the medical benefits for victims, and non-medical benefits for victims. So on the slide I have four medical benefits for victims, or for women, which enables appropriate and timely care and treatment for IPV survivors, contributes to improving IPV survivors' health, helps with prevention of STIs and HIV, and improves the survivor's psychological health. And here we have one non-medical benefit enables women to know their rights. But in the interest of time, I also could not present the other medical, non-medical benefits, one of which was it helps to reduce a few violence incidents, and it also helps to improve women's safety. Those were some of the responses we also got from healthcare providers. So here are the provider-related barriers to IPV. And all of them, except for the judgmental attitudes, were reported by providers themselves. So the first two barriers there, they have to do with health systems issues. Providers do not have time to screen women for IPV. Then they also complained about not having enough short, clear, and valid screening tools. I'll come back to the judgmental attitudes. But when we look at the other barriers that were mentioned by providers, it had to do with their concerns about their clients. They did not want to increase the client's risk of re-victimization. They did not want to re-traumatize victims by having them relive their experiences. They didn't want to offend or stigmatize their clients. They also acknowledged that they as providers did not have relevant training on how to do IPV screening. And some of them said, we don't have the communication skills to talk to women about IPV. But this was interesting, that they feared that there would be no justice. Even if they identify women who were victims of IPV, there would be no justice for those women. So for those providers, it was like, what's the point of us doing this? And let me come back to the judgmental attitudes. We did ask providers what were the best ways to screen men, women, and separately adolescent girls. And we found that when it came to screening adolescent female clients, there were indeed judgmental attitudes. And these are three responses to the questions around what's the best way to screen adolescent girls. Now, one in four providers said that it's very challenging to deal with adolescents victims of IPV because of the sensitive nature of the topic, and also because of adolescents' lack of maturity, mistrust, and fear of adults. So when you talk to providers, they also, two of them described adolescence, one as, and I quote, a crazy period, and the other one as a psychologically uncertain age group. And so one of them said, I hate talking to teenagers. And that was the response to the question about what's the best way to talk to adolescent girls about intimate partner violence. And the other one said, they're never happy, they always cry. And what we found also that a lot of the questions that were proposed, they appear to be interrogation, admonitions, and they adopted a tone that was accusatory, and some proposed advice that dictated what adolescents should or should not do. So for this one, which was a quote from the head nurse of a private mixed hospital, for me, what brings her to have a husband? Because an adolescent, what problems did you have that brought you to get a husband? Which is not actually one of the best ways to screen adolescents. So it actually told us that there are needs for training, especially when it came to communicating about sensitive issues with adolescent girls. So this slide actually illustrates some of the constraints. The first has to do with the health system. When they do not have basic training or structure, and structure for that, the screening practices become difficult. The challenges are the lack of materials and tools for doing the job. The human resources may be available, but we do not have enough materials to do it. And this second quote expressed a concern, which is that routine screening for intimate partner violence could decrease a woman's safety. And actually, it was interesting because a third of the providers said they did not know how screening for IPV could increase women's safety, and could reduce women's safety. I have more time, so I can talk a little bit more. We did ask providers about the what they perceived as their training needs in terms of screening for IPV, and these were some of the topics that they identified. The definition of violence, all types of violence. Interpersonal communication was very important. Training on how to approach the clients and answer their questions. They wanted training on appropriate care and treatment of IPV cases. How clients should react if they find themselves in a violent situation. How women can protect themselves from IPV. Confidentiality, psychological care, sexually transmitted infections, counseling. And one mentioned that we do not want a one point in time training, we want ongoing training. But one of the quotes which is not up here was how to screen the patient without hurting the patient. And I think it all has to do with the interpersonal communication aspects and the need for training in that. But providers also had other concerns. They were concerned about the infringement of clients' privacy. You know, that asking about that what happens between a client and their partner is a private issue, and providers should not be concerned about that. They also worried about lack of punishment for perpetrators. So they screen women, they might get their hopes up, and we didn't talk a little bit more about what the community perceived bias were, but the community perceived a lack of services to address IPV at the community level. They worried about community norms supportive of IPV and patient non-disclosure. And they proposed that if IPV was going to become a practice in Haiti, you needed to raise public awareness about IPV to increase victim identification and disclosure. They also felt that you needed to hold group meetings where survivors can invite their partners. So they did not see that just focusing on the female client would be sufficient, but you needed to have couple counseling and couple support groups. And then also conducting home visits to provide survivors with follow-up care was another thing that they suggested. So I'll read the first quote here, which talks about community norms. The disadvantage is the way people around the victim approach the situation. They believe if the woman has been in the man's room, it is acceptable if the man rapes her. So they blame the victim. But we need to train men to change their mind about the way they treat women, and our laws need to be reinforced for those cases. So community awareness raising was key for them. So now let me come to the recommendations. We didn't find that the barriers varied much by the type of healthcare provider, so we just have these blanket recommendations. First of all, to provide healthcare workers with the structure and support to effectively care for IPV survivors. They need to increase providers' knowledge, skills, and self-efficacy regarding IPV screening, to implement behavior change communication interventions, to sensitize communities about IPV and increase knowledge of IPV consequences and services, and to increase confidentiality and ensure women's safety and security as a prerequisite for IPV screening. So thank you very much for your attention. And here's the disclosure. It follows the USAID Brandling Guidelines, as most people would be aware of. The study was funded by USAID through the PRH Associate Award. Thank you very much.